generally speaking, and in halacha we find that this time of the year is known as the time of the Dalet or Arba Parshios, the four special Parshios that we read on the various Shabbosim leading up to Pesach. We have, of course, Shkolim, which is before Chodesh Adar. Today, or this past Shabbos, we learned Parshas Zachar, which is the Shabbos before Purim. And then you have Parshas Parah, followed by Parshas HaChodesh. But in reality, it's not really the order of the four, because really, the first two belong to Chodesh Adar, and the second two really are preparation for Nisan. Parshas HaChodesh is the Shabbos before Chodesh Nisan, and Parshas Parah is also anticipation of Chodesh Nisan when we bring the Korban Pesach. So if you think of it in these terms, the reading of this parsha, Parshas Zachar, followed by Purim, is really the end of the cycle, which began on Pesach through Purim, through Parshas Zachar and Purim, and then begins a new cycle, the new cycle that prepares us for Pesach and Pesach and beyond as we begin the new cycle of the next year, of the next time we begin HaChodesh Elchem Rosh Chodashim, Chodesh Nisan being the first month of the year. So I'd like us to look at the unit that we are currently ending. The unit or the year that we're currently ending, it began on Pesach with the Chodesh Nisan and Pesach, and it ends with Parshas Zachar and Purim. And with that in mind, I'd like us to perhaps get a better understanding of what Purim means and the place and the role that Purim and perhaps Parshas Zachar as well play in the cycle of Klal Yisrael and the observances of Klal Yisrael from Pesach through Purim. What I'm about to say now really is inspired by the Hagdama that Matisyahu Solomon writes in his Hagdama, his introduction to his Sefer Megillas Esther, although I'm not going to say that I'm saying exactly what he's saying. But he does ask a fascinating question. And the question that he asks is, we find a very famous Gemara in Shabbos that tells us that at the time of Matan Torah, Kafa Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Har Kegigas, at the time when Hashem gave the Torah, he held a mountain of a Klal Yisrael's heads like a gigas, like a barrel, and said him at the Mekabel the Torah, Mutav, if you accept the Torah, that's good, Vim Lav, and if not, Shem Tzik V'raschem, you'll be buried here. So they accepted the Torah. So the Gemara says, Mikan Madar Rabbala Raisa. This would seem to be an excuse, an out that we have in terms of our requirement to keep the Torah because we accepted it under duress. And as everybody knows, if you accept something under duress, you're forced into something. You're not really bound to keep it. And the Gemara answers, okay, well, maybe you have a point, but Hadra Kibluah b'yimei Achashverosh. Klal Yisrael re-accepted the Torah in the times of Achashverosh, in the time of Purim. In the time of Purim, at the end of the Megillah, it says, Kimu v'kibluah Yehudim. Klal Yisrael was Mekayim. They affirmed and they accepted. And Chazal tells us, the Gemara says, it means Kimu v'ashikibul kavar. They affirmed or reaffirmed that which they had accepted in the past, that they re-accepted the Torah. After the Nes of Purim, which is such an amazing Nes, and such an amazing experience, what an amazing story it was, Klal Yisrael responds to that, accepts the Torah, this time out of love, this time willingly, this time they did not have to be coerced. So asks Rav Matisyahu that Rashi tells us that the reason why they accepted the Torah was, may you have a Sanes Shanas Alehem, out of love of the Nes, that was done for them. It was the Nes of Purim, that such tremendous love of the Nes of Purim, that's what inspired them to keep the Torah. Let's think about this for a moment. Were there no Nisim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim that could have inspired them to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? Weren't the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim infinitely greater than the Nes of Purim? There were hundreds of Nisim, according to Chazal, at Kriyas Yam Suf. When you take the Esar Makos and Kriyas Yam Suf, the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole series of Nisim Guluyim, open miracles, and the breaking of laws of nature, putting them back together again in such an amazing, spectacular way, all for Klal Yisrael, wasn't that enough to inspire them to accept the Torah? They needed the story of Purim, which, when you measure Nisim against each other, the story of Purim is kind of a low-key Nes, a Nes that does not break any laws of nature, a Nes known as Nes Nistar, a hidden Nes. Why would that be the Nes that inspires them more than the Nisim and the great, great Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim? This is the question that Rav Matisyahu asks. Now, to understand the difference between the Nisim of Purim and the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's perhaps a mistake for us to simplify it by saying one breaks the laws of nature and one doesn't break the laws of nature. It's really much more than that. Rav Huttner writes, in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, that while that distinction is true, but that is only the superficial way of understanding what the Nes HaPurim is all about. The Nes Nistar and Nes, it doesn't break the laws of nature. Because it really goes deeper than that, that the Nes of Purim wasn't a one-time Nes. It wasn't an incident where something happened and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. But rather, it was an elaborate piece of work. It was a very, very, very involved plan from the get-go. At a time when we couldn't even see what was happening, what the purpose of these things were, Esther becomes queen, Vashti is killed, Esther becomes queen, and we don't really realize at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something really good. It actually looks like something terrible. Assuming that we moved away from our childhood understanding of rooting for Esther to win the beauty contest, then we matured and we understand what a tragedy must have been at the time for Esther the Tzedekes, Esther the Tzenuah, to be dragged away from the safety of her home and brought into a Persian harem. Terrible, terrible thing. Could we have seen anything good in that? And as he goes through the story of the Megillah and Haman's rise to power, and it seems like he'll be able to do whatever he wants, including to destroy Klal Yisrael. And when he builds those gallows in the center of Shushan, and gallows that were taller than anybody had ever seen before, just so that Mordechai can hang on it. And those gallows have Mordechai's name written all over it. Everyone's expecting Mordechai to hang on it. Can we see that something good will come from that? And even the plot to kill the king over by Mordechai, can we imagine at the time when it was happening, could we imagine the role that would play in saving Klal Yisrael? It's only at the end when you look back at the whole story and you see that all along HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us. We see an amazing, amazing day spanning 9 years where every step of the way, Hashem was doing something for us. And in a way, yes, it is a greater nace than Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, what's the message of Kriyas Yamsuf? The message of Kriyas Yamsuf is, if Klal Yisrael is in trouble, if we have our backs against the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do something amazing for us to make sure we survive, even if it takes splitting the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf will save us. But in the story of Purim, we see much more than that. In the story of Purim, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually loves us all the time, and he's always watching over us, and he's always taking care of us. Even in times when we can't see, and even in times when things seem to look like disaster is happening, really Hashem is watching over us. He's managing the situation and making sure that in the end, we'll come out okay. The Ramban says, at the end of Parshas Bo, where there's this very, very important Ramban discussing the whole concept of Nes. The Ramban says as follows, "Umin ha-nisim ha-gdolim ha-mufursamim, from the great and spectacular Nisim, Adamode banisim hanistarim. A person comes to acknowledge and to understand the hidden nisim. Shemisod haTorah kula, which is the foundation, the real foundation of the whole Torah. She'ein la'adam, very important words over here. She'ein la'adam chilek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a true portion, a true share in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Atchenam b'chol dvareinu mekareinu, until one comes to believe that all things that happen to us, Shekulam nisim, they are all nisim. Ein b'hem teva, there's no such thing as nature, minhag shel olam. There's no such thing as things just happening just because that's just the way it is. Rather, everything is hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rav and the Yachid, whether you're dealing with the Rav, the community, or clients as a whole, or you deal with our individual lives. And that's what it takes to be a mamon, and that's what it takes to have a chilek in Torah's Moshe. The Ramban told us that one does not truly have a chilek in Torah's Moshe until they understand the secret of the Nes Nistar. And the secret of the Nes Nistar is that there is no such thing as teva. There is no such thing as nature. The nature is simply the disguise of repetition that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears, so we don't see him with clarity because we begin to take those things for granted until something out of the ordinary happens. But the ordinary is no less spectacular and no less miraculous than the extraordinary. The fact that the sun rises every single day, the fact that we can open up our eyes and see, it's all nisim, and everything that happens in our lives is being guided by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And until we understand that, we don't truly have a chilek in Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That is what the Ramban says. And therefore, if you think about it, Pesach is just the beginning. Pesach is the lesson of Nes Nigla. Pesach is the lesson that Kadosh Baruch Hu, yes, that he controls the world, that he created the world, that he's the source of everything. But it's possible for a person to come into Pesach and not yet to be fully informed of the role that Kadosh Baruch Hu plays in his life. And only with Purim do we finally arrive and fully understand what that role is. And therefore, if the Ramban says, Min Hanisim Hagdolim, from the great Nisim, we come to acknowledge the hidden Nisim, those great Nisim happen at Pesach, and that was the beginning of the journey. But the whole year, we're still on that journey until we arrive at Purim, and we learn about the Nisim Nistarim that we have to acknowledge as well, those hidden Nisim, and the role that Kadosh Baruch Hu plays in our life all of the time. And therefore, there is a special simcha, and there is a special love for the Nes of Purim. The special love for the Nes of Purim could really be explained in a number of ways. First of all, the very fact that Hashem, as I mentioned earlier, has this love for us, that He watches over us even when we can't see Him. Think of that child who is being sent by his father, to walk to school all by himself for the first time. The child is a little bit nervous. The child is a little bit insecure. But where's the father? Where's the father if the child's walking to school all alone? He's not alone. The father's driving his car right behind him, just to make sure everything's okay, just to watch and ready to jump out at a moment's notice in case the child gets lost, makes the wrong turn, or encounters any kind of problem whatsoever. That's the love Hashem has for us. He sends us through galus, and it seems dark, and it seems insecure, and it seems like things that are happening that we'd rather not happen, that are in fact bad, but in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching and making sure that everything will turn out just the way it's supposed to. That is a tremendous love that we feel from Hashem that can inspire the love that we showed back by re-accepting the Torah. But also, there's the love and the appreciation of one who has arrived. One has arrived at the destination. The destination, the journey began at Pesach, but the destination where we finally arrive is on Purim. On Purim, we finally arrive to that point where we are modeh, where we acknowledge the Nisim, the Nistarim, the hidden miracles, and now we fully can have a chelik in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Rabban says, that's when we have a share, that's when we have a portion, that's when we really can say the Torah is ours, that's when we can have a relationship with Torah, because we're having a relationship with Torah is having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only when we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us can we fully actualize our relationship with Him. So this is a great time of the year. This is a great time to celebrate this idea. And we think about the fact that Parshas Zachar precedes Purim because Parshas Zachar represents the exact opposite, or Amalek, I should say, represents the exact opposite. Amalek doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the Nisim Gluyim. The open miracles of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, say nothing to Amalek. And we Klal Yisrael, are not oblivious. We Klal Yisrael are sensitive. We Klal Yisrael are aware and notice those hidden subtle Nisim as they're represented by Purim. So as we enter the Purim, the Purim season, and as we prepared to come out of the Purim season, this is the area which you have to grow in. This is the area that we have to internalize, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time, and to be sensitive to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the lives of Klal Yisrael as a whole, but also to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Nisim that He performs for us on a daily basis, all of the time. If we're sensitive people, we'll see that we are where we are, we arrive where we're supposed to be, and we get what we need, and everything that happens in our lives is in fact guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how we end the cycle that begins at Pesach. But we know that it doesn't end there. After Purim, we start all over again. Whenever we finish a cycle, we start again. When one finishes Shas, we show Bezokha to finish Shas. What do? You start over again. We finish the Torah. On Simchas Torah, we immediately begin Bereshis again. We finish Shabbos, we begin Sunday counting towards the next Shabbos. Because for us, it's not a straight line, and it's not even a circle, but rather it's a spiral. Because a Pesach that follows a Purim, follows a cycle that ended with Purim, is not the same as a Pesach that did not have a Purim that precedes it. So every year we grow. Every year we grow in the lessons that come from Pesach, and every year we grow in the lessons that we learn throughout the year that end with Purim, so that as soon as we finish Purim, we'll get back to Pesach, but not just to repeat what we did last year, but to grow beyond that and to constantly grow in an ever, ever upwards way in terms of our appreciation for what Hashem does for us, and the love that He has for us, and the love that in turn we have for Him.